Hi, my name is Virginia, shop owner of Hot Off Her Hook.
Hi, my name is Chris from Old Raven.
Hi, my name is Marco from MetaMask Shop.
Hi, I'm Tess.
And I'm Mary, and this is the Etsy Success Podcast.
We're part of the seller marketing team here at Etsy, broadcasting from Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn.
This podcast is powered by Etsy and is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. So we're going to be getting into everybody's favorite topic, search. Have you been searching for anything interesting on Etsy lately?
Well, actually, recently I realized that I really need a lamp for my room. And, you know, at first I think I was just really out of it. I was just typing in like big lamp or something like that, like tall lamp.
But then there's a word for
yeah, I realized that later that, you know, then I saw the suggested search term, which is floor lamp. So I started searching for floor lamps and I stumbled upon this really beautiful lamp where the shade is a birdcage, which is, yeah, it's just got all these little birds inside of it, which is really just, I'd never seen anything like it. I was never even thought that existed. And it was just so amazing because I was just thinking, like, I had no idea I would have, you know, wanted or desired a birdcage lamp if I had just typed in floor lamp.
Yeah. And I mean, neither would I.
How would you know? Yeah. And I looked at her tags and, you know, she had gotten nice and specific with her categorization where she typed in, you know, home and living, but then she typed in lighting and then categorized it lamps, but then went a step further and categorized it as a floor lamp, hence my discovery of her floor lamp, because that becomes, as many people may know, may or may not know, that that's then one of your keywords and your tags on your listing.
Right. Yeah. All of like your categorization and everything gets kind of bumped into your keywords and tags. So using those categories is really important. The deeper you go into your categories, the more extra tags you get.
And, you know, you can already see what search terms people are using to find your shop or your listings and your shop stats. So, like, that seller can see that, you know, maybe I searched floor lamp and ended up on their listing. But now sellers are going to be able to learn even more details about their Etsy search traffic with this new tool that we're really excited about called Search Analytics. So Search Analytics is really useful because it shows you things like where your listings are ranking in search on average. You can also see what tags are bringing traffic to each of your listings, and you'll even be able to track your revenue from Etsy search. So you'll really get a sense of what's working when it comes to your keywords.
But yeah, that's so amazing because there's so much information and testing and just opportunities for growth that you can get from that information. It's like, it's so much that you can work with and dig into and really spend time with.
Right. It's just really exciting to be able to see, like, not only see the finer details, but draw that line between what you're doing in your shop and how it's impacting your business. So be on the lookout for Search Analytics and your shop manager starting this week. And, you know, search can feel a little mysterious, and there are some myths floating around out there about search. And that's what we're going to tackle in today's episode. So Taylor Combs and Isabella Diaz both work together on the Ultimate Guide to Etsy Search, which we recently published on the Seller Handbook. You'll hear more about that in a moment. And Taylor and Isabella are here to bust some myths about Etsy search.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Behind the curtain.
Yeah. And then instead of our usual lightning round, they'll also do a round of keyword critiques for sellers who submitted their listings in the forums.
Hi, I'm Taylor, and I'm an editor on Etsy's seller marketing team. I write many of the emails you receive from Etsy, and I also write education for Etsy Seller Handbook.
And I'm Isabella, and I'm a shop optimization specialist on the community team here at Etsy. I work with the search team to create education about search for sellers, like workshops, videos, and articles.
We recently published The Ultimate Guide to Etsy Search on the Seller Handbook. It's an in-depth look at all the factors that go into search ranking, and it's full of advice that you can use to brainstorm keywords for your titles and tags and optimize your shop for Etsy search. Etsy search is always changing, and the tips that we're sharing today are based on our current best practices.
So we hear a lot of questions about search, you know, within our forums, support emails, within team pages, and we've pulled some of the top questions and concerns that we hear and we're going to do a little bit of myth busting.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. So the first one I want to bring up is about renewals. Taylor, can you myth bust this? Sellers should be renewing their listings every day to increase their visibility.
So before we dig into why this is a myth, I want to introduce a concept that we call listing quality score. So this is a factor that goes into search ranking. And basically what this is we look at how shoppers interact with listings to sort of gather clues about what's popular with shoppers so that we can show you listings that you're really more likely to be excited about when you're searching on Etsy. So we look at how well a listing converts, basically how many people who click on it make a purchase, and that helps us create a quality score for that listing. And a high quality score can improve your search ranking. So one reason I think that this myth exists around renewing is that we do give listings a small temporary boost in search when they're newly created or renewed so that we can sort of gather that information about how shoppers are interacting with the listing in search and give it a listing quality score. So it is true that they get a short temporary boost, but I don't think renewing your listings is a very effective strategy for improving your search ranking. And I think your time would be better spent really optimizing your listings for conversion and helping give shoppers all the information they need to make a purchase decision, and also sort of working on your keywords and your titles and tags so that you can potentially match with more searches. So one thing that I hear is that shops are penalized for going into vacation mode, or that vacation mode can hurt your search ranking.
Here's the deal with vacation mode. When you go on vacation mode, your listings are temporarily removed from search. So while your listings are out of search, shoppers continue to conduct searches, shop for items, browse, click, purchase, favorite, add to cart, all those things. That continues to happen while your listings are temporarily out of search. So it's not that you're being penalized, but other listings are gaining this engagement and these interactions. And like you said earlier, listing quality, which comes from those conversions and those actions, that contributes to search ranking. So yeah, other listings may rank higher than you following your going on vacation, but over time, once you return, things should even out again. Going on vacation is a great way to take a small break. Just be aware that when you come back, things won't be as fast moving as they were right when you left.
Cool. What's the next myth?
Okay. So the next one that I'm going to bring up here is that this is definitely one we're hearing a lot about recently. New shops get more priority in Etsy search than old shops.
So similar to the other things we were just talking about with vacation mode and listing quality score, when a new shop opens on Etsy, they create a listing and we have no information about how shoppers are going to interact with that listing because it's brand new to Etsy. So we similarly give them a short boost and give that listing a chance to be seen so that we can understand how shoppers are interacting with it and give that listing a quality score. Right. And it's similar to the way that a new listing, like a listing that you're creating for the very first time from a shop that's been on Etsy for a long time, they would get a similar kind of boost. And so that might be why when you're searching, you're seeing some listings from brand new shops on Etsy.
Yeah.
Another myth we see is that sellers are concerned about the order that they input their tags and that the order they enter their tags in matters to their search ranking. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so this is a myth. The order of your tags does not matter. You can put them in any order you'd like. It's not going to impact search ranking. It's different with your title, which I think is where some of the confusion starts there. You do want to put your most searchable or your most important words in the front of your title for conversion purposes. You know, when somebody's on their mobile device or on their desktop device and they're browsing search results, they do see typically those first couple of words that you have in your title. So in that case, yeah, maybe the order of your words is going to matter. But with tags, nope. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And just to be super clear, that order of the words in the title, it's not that Etsy is giving any preference in search ranking to the order of the words, but the words that are at the beginning of the title are the ones shoppers will see first. And so those can kind of catch their attention.
Yeah, it can definitely influence conversions. Great. So The next one that we've been hearing about lately is signing up for Etsy Plus improves your search ranking.
Yeah, this is a myth. And we've been saying this since Etsy Plus launched this summer. Paying for a subscription has no effect on your search ranking. The only connection between Etsy Plus and Etsy Search is that when you subscribe to a subscription package, you get $5 in promoted listings credits. And promoted listings is an advertising tool that you can use to increase your visibility in search results. But you can also pay for promoted listings without signing up for a subscription package. So I really want to put this myth to rest because there's no connection between paying for a subscription and your search ranking.
Okay, so the next myth here is keywords have to be in both your titles and your tags to match with a query.
So it's a myth that the keyword has to appear in both your titles and tags in order for that listing to appear in the search results. But it is a good practice to use your strongest keywords in both those places, because when a keyword appears in your titles and tags and it matches the shopper's query, that can increase the relevancy of that listing. It's seen as super relevant to the shopper's search, and that could improve that listing's ranking in results for that search. But you don't have to worry about putting all of your tags into your titles. Instead, we recommend that you write short, descriptive titles that are easy for a shopper to understand when they're sort of browsing all of the listings that are available to them in search results. Similar to what you were saying earlier with the order of the words in titles, a short, clear title will make it easy for a shopper to decide if they want to click on a listing. Something I know that you recommend is maybe 3 to 4 really descriptive phrases in the title.
I think that's the way to go. You may not end up using, you know, all 140 characters, but I definitely think just coming up with 3 or 4 really strong, relevant phrases is a good way to rank in the most relevant searches, as well as appeal from a conversions perspective.
So this one is about categories. One thing that I think sellers are worried about is that if they use really specific categories when they're listing their items, that is narrowing the number of searches that they might appear in. What can you tell me about this?
Yeah, I've heard this a lot too. This is a total myth. Adding super specific categories doesn't limit where your item is shown. It actually does the opposite and expands on the different areas that you can appear in. So not only do you just appear in more category pages, but it's also going to help with searches, because each specific category that you're adding, category, subcategory, all those that follow, these are going to act as tags on your listings. So this is just additional searches that you'll be appearing in. For example, if you're listing a mug, you know, you want to list it in more than just home and living or kitchen and dining. You want to go all the way down to the mugs category. And from there, you'll appear in mugs, drinkware, drink and barware, kitchen and dining, home and living.
Yeah. So it's like expanding your reach.
Yeah. Yeah. You always want to go as far down as you can.
Totally.
Okay. So the next one that I'm going to bring up also relates to categories and subcategories. You need to add the phrases in your categories and subcategories as tags. So we just kind of went over that, but could you expand a little bit there?
Yeah. So like you said, categories act like tags. So it's a myth that you need to be repeating those phrases that appear in your categories in your tags. Etsy Search is scanning the keywords that are in your categories when matching your listings with a query. So adding those phrases in your tags is kind of redundant and sort of a missed opportunity to use those tags for other keyword-rich phrases that a shopper might use to find your item.
Right. So just to be blunt, like you're wasting a tag basically if you're just mimicking the category. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So moving on to a totally different topic, photography is something that we hear about a lot. And one myth that we hear is that listings with all 10 photos are going to be ranked higher by Etsy Search.
Yeah. So I'm happy you brought this up. We do hear this a lot. Just to be short, no, we don't look at how many photos you've added to your listing and from there make any ranking decisions. But here's the deal. We do still recommend using all 10 listing photos, because the more listing photos you have, the more people are going to engage with your item. They're going to click through all of those images and, you know, it's either going to give them more confidence towards purchasing your item or it'll just have them spending more time on your page. And from there, they might find another item that they like. So all of this activity that comes from 10 listing photos, you know, that can contribute to the listing quality score that you were talking about earlier. So any positive conversion is going to help with your search ranking. So indirectly, I'd say that it has an impact, but directly related to the search algorithm, no, there's no correlation between photo count and search ranking.
Yeah, it all kind of ties back to that conversion and listing quality score. And using all 10 of your photos is an opportunity to answer your shoppers' questions so that they're more confident clicking add to cart and purchasing that item.
Right. So yeah, think of it more as like an opportunity to convert. So you could have all the different angles. Maybe if it's something people wear, you can show it modeled on a person. It's also a great opportunity to show off packaging or branding. Yeah, we still definitely recommend it.
Cool. So now we're going to move into some listing critiques. We put out a call in the forums and we asked you to submit your listings for a keyword critique. And Isabella and I have looked at the titles and tags on these listings, and we're going to share some tips on how you might create more opportunities to match with shopper searches using keywords. And we're going to add links to these listings in the description so that you can follow along.
Yep. So thanks for everyone who submitted. We had a really great time looking through all of your listings. So the first item I have here is a really beautiful piece of wall decor from Scenic Shore Creations. It's got a fish kind of put together out of cut wood pieces, sort of has a nautical vibe to it, and it looks like something you'd hang up in your beach house. Really cute. So the first thing I'm noticing as I'm looking at this listing is that the seller isn't using all 13 tags. And as we talked about before, it's so important to take advantage of these opportunities. If you're trying to improve your visibility, if you're trying to appear in more searches, not using all of the tag slots available to you is just going to prevent you from doing that. So I would encourage the seller to add more tags to her listing and to really take these tags to the next level as well. Right now, the current tags that I'm seeing that could be worked on a little bit are fish art, fishing, beach art. While these are all relevant, they're not very specific. So by taking them, you know, to the next level, making them maybe from words into phrases or just more specific phrases, you're going to put yourself in front of what I like to call the right buyers, which are the people who are already on the hunt for something like this. They want a piece of art like this. They have it in mind, and that's what they're shopping for. So as you're working on your tags, things to think about, I think, are materials, where you might hang something like this, maybe who it's for, if it's a gift, or if it's just something that you would want in your own home. Think about those things. And then my last piece of advice would be for the title, maybe just make that first phrase a little more descriptive. Again, we talked about this earlier. It's not that it will impact ranking directly, but there could be an indirect impact in that first phrase is usually what people see when browsing and when shopping search results. So just having something a little more descriptive there or specific to the item, I think could help with those.
Yeah, totally. I love this. Very nautical. So my first listing is a gold bangle bracelet that has a keychain attached to it that you could put your keys on. And it has some really cute decorative charms and tassels. And this is from Jill Foreman of the shop Jill Makes. And she's using a lot of great tags with the word keychain, since that's sort of the target customer, what they might be searching for. They're looking for something that holds their keys, right? But I think a missed opportunity for her tags is that in reading the description and looking at the pictures, I see that this item can be personalized with an initial charm. And so shoppers who are coming to Etsy looking for a personalized gift might search something like monogram keychain or personalized key ring. And so that's a new market that you might reach by adding some of those tags, people who are really looking for that like special touch on their item. Another thing, she's using the tags tassel keychain and colorful keychain because there's these kind of cool decorations. And I think one thing you can think about when you're adding keywords is, what is the style of someone who might love this item and what kinds of words might they use to search? So I think something like eclectic keychain could be fun here. It has sort of this like vibe happening. Another thing that's really cool about this listing, it's something I haven't really seen before, is that it's a bangle bracelet and a keychain. So it's sort of glamorous and practical at the same time. And she's using the tag bangle, but it's not a compound phrase. So it's sort of not really working as hard for her as it could be. So I think something like gold bangle keychain or even wearable keychain that kind of gets at this practical aspect of what someone might be looking for on Etsy. And then they would be delighted to find this like really chic version of a wearable keychain. So that would be my advice for this seller.
So my next listing is a really cute light up wreath from the Wonky Fox. It looks like it's made from some more natural materials and there's greenery wrapped around it. And then there's this little sleeping fox made from wool at the bottom. It's really adorable. In terms of improvement, the first thing that I'm seeing here is that they're leading with really short phrases like woodland wreath, fox wreath, woodland decor. These are a bit vague, so I'm thinking taking it a step further, focusing more on what makes this item unique would be helpful. So think about where this would go or what the purpose is. I think maybe focusing on the nightlight aspect of it kind of makes it really special. So maybe fox nightlight or nightlight wreath. I think those words, leading off with those, kind of turning some of the more simple tags into phrases like this could be really helpful. And again, just avoid single word tags. I see the sellers doing that mostly, but there are a few that stood out that are single words like fox. So again, just think about taking it a step further so you can better match with what a potential buyer is going to search. We don't really see buyers just typing in one word when searching. And, you know, you can better match with someone's search if you add more words there. Another little tip I have is talking more about the greenery involved here. For instance, it looks like you're using English ivy. I could be wrong on that. Taylor, does this look like English ivy?
It looks like ivy to me.
Okay, cool. I think maybe adding in exactly what the greenery is could be helpful, especially for someone who's shopping for like a woodland themed item. Also, English ivy is trending right now, so it could just be worth adding in.
So the next listing I have is a brown felt bear Christmas ornament. And he has a little customizable note that the seller personalizes and attaches to the ornament. And this is from the shop Mika Art. So they're using lots of descriptive tags that are really around this being a Christmas ornament. So they're using tags like customized ornament and bear ornament. But one thing I would recommend for this listing is what kind of personal style might a shopper have who is searching for an item like this, and how might they think about this bear ornament? One thing you might consider adding would be woodland ornament or something that sort of describes the aesthetic that this bear ornament might fit into. Something else I think is worth considering is holiday decorators often have sort of a vibe they're going for with their holiday decor. And they might be really into the like fuzzy felt texture of this bear ornament. So something like felt bear ornament or even just felt ornament could help people who are maybe looking for that style of ornament to add to their collection. Something else I was thinking about in terms of use is sort of expanding your mind a little bit and how someone might use this bear ornament. So the seller is customizing it by adding this really cute little tag to the bear that you can personalize with your own message. And so I thought maybe something like custom gift tag could be fun. And you could tie this little bear and your personalized message onto a wrapped gift. So sort of think about how might someone use this item and what words would they search for to find something similar. So that would be my tips.
Okay, my next listing comes from C. Banning Accessories. It's a large red bag with a face pattern printed on it. It looks super functional. It's got lots of pockets, good sized handles. It's kind of artsy, so I think I need this. And for improvements, there are some really strong keywords here already, but I think doing some rearranging, ensuring we've got the most important phrases towards the front for conversion purposes, and then in the best sequence for keyword matching purposes, I think that could be really helpful. So for example, I think I would focus more on the face aspect of this bag, the fact that it's super functional, and then the fact that it's red. So maybe phrases like red crossbody tote and large linen tote with pockets and abstract face pattern or face motif would all work well in the title. For the tags, I think I'd avoid the more general phases. Like here I see clothing gift and best friend bag. And I'd go with something a little more specific to the product. So again, I'm bringing up the pockets because I think that's super important and maybe a missed opportunity here. So interior pockets and then maybe the material also. So linen canvas bag. I think these would be strong keywords that would help somebody who's kind of got a more narrow targeted search in mind find this product. Also, maybe the fact that it's a rouge red bag, that phrase would probably work better in the tags rather than the title.
Cool. Those are great tips. So my last listing is also sort of staying on this seasonal theme, and it's an adorably spooky ghost that you can hang on your front door. And this is from Colette of the shop Ever Blooming Original. And her shop is full of really beautiful wreaths, and she's using a lot of tags with the phrase wreath. But I think an opportunity for this item, because it's more of a ghost that you hang on your door than it is a ghost wreath. So something like front door decor would be a phrase I might recommend that she add to her tags. And it's really cute. It has this like fun kind of childish feminine vibe happening. The ghosts have little bows on their head. So I think this might be something to think about would be where might someone hang this other than their front door and who might be interested in this item. So something like fall classroom decor for teachers who are looking for something really cute to add a festive touch to their classroom. The style is really charming, and I think emphasizing that in the tags that she's using. So in addition to thinking about where it might hang, I think cute ghost decor would also be a good keyword for this item. And I noticed in some of her reviews for this product, people were referring to it as cute. And so you kind of know that shoppers are already using that word to describe this item. And so other people who are searching for cute ghosts might search a phrase like that.
Okay, so my last listing comes from Kentucky Stick Chairs, and it's a foldable wood Adirondack style chair. It's really cool. There's already some solid phrases here in the mix, but I think there's also a lot of general phrases being used that probably aren't going to bring this item much traffic. For example, outdoor furniture and recessed hardware are both in the title, and I'm just not too sure that these are super relevant or as relevant as other phrases might be. In the tags, I also see stuff like folk art and furniture and camping. And these are just a little too vague, I think. I'm pretty sure that someone who's shopping for a chair like this is probably going to lead with that in their searches. So I'd focus more on what the item is and what makes it different than the other Adirondack chairs it's competing against in search. So maybe talking about how functional it is, the fact that this is foldable, that it's easy to transport or store, I think these are all selling points that a buyer might have in mind when searching. Additionally, I think the material is important. So playing up the fact that it's yellow pine and that it's handcrafted, I think that could be really helpful. One thing I noticed about this listing specifically is that the seller has written out a really long and beautiful description. So I feel like maybe if you get stuck on where to go with keywords, definitely read over your description because there's a lot there that I think could go in the titles or tags to help rank higher in those most relevant searches. Okay, thanks so much to everyone who submitted a listing. And if we didn't get to yours, there will be more listing critique opportunities in the forums in the future.
We're almost done for today, but before we go, we'd like to close out the episode with Shop Talk. We post a question in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels, and you send us your answers by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. This week, we asked you to tell us about what you wish you'd known before you opened your shop. So just sharing your advice for other sellers who are just starting out. Here are some of your stories.
Hello, this is Gabe from Indianapolis, Indiana, and my shop is called Finding Fashion. Something I wish I would have known prior to starting this venture is to share my ideas with others. Be they stranger or significant, sharing your business ideas with others opens up access to a much wider pool of thought. It is hard to take criticism about something we may be creating with our heart and soul, but talking to others about our ideas helps challenge their validity and can open the doors to possibilities that would be lost if we kept quiet instead. It's simple advice, but it is what I wish I'd known.
Hi, this is Heidi from Morning Fog Studios. If I could give a piece of advice to somebody starting an Etsy shop, I would tell them to approach it sort of like if they were enrolling in college, and they should expect to work really hard. They should expect to learn a lot. They should expect to take small steps every day to improve their shop. But what they shouldn't expect is to make a whole bunch of money in the beginning. And if they're breaking even or even not losing money, they're probably doing pretty well. So approach it more as a learning experience rather than a way of making a lot of money.
Hi, I'm Sarah Don of Sarah Don Design. And if I could go back in time and give myself some advice, I would say it's not as scary as you think it is. It's something that's incredibly enjoyable, and it's really worth it if you're going to pursue your dream.
So that does it for today. You can find a link to the Ultimate Guide to Etsy Search in the description for this episode, and be sure to keep an eye on your shop manager for the new search analytics tool. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a moment, please do rate us on iTunes. We really appreciate it, and it helps us spread the word about the show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.